Welcome to Minority Corner.
With an Eke.
And James. Learn, laugh, play.
It's like Blue's Clues.
Only it's more black, gay,
and ladylike.
This week on Minority Corner, what do you got going on?
This week, I am helping those babies like I always like to do with some books.
I just call you Mother Mother. Just double mother.
Mother and the babies. The babies need the books. And it's a list that I found. Because you know I like myself a listicle.
Yes, we need to start the new year off with a new list.
We do. And it is a bunch of books that black teenagers should read. And I'm just going to say, well, one, specifically black teenagers should read it. But I'm saying all teenagers should read it because we're here to normalize anti-racism.
Ooh,
so if you've got a teenager in your life, buy them one of these books that I'm going to be talking about.
Aneke is throwing it down for the new year. Black kids at the front of the bus and everybody else, you get on that damn bus too and you read these books.
Everybody get on that bus and read that book, but wait until your black friend hands it back to you.
Let them read it first. I feel like that's a new Spike Lee movie. Everybody get on the bus and read this book.
That's a boring-ass movie.
Okay. It's just a bunch of people reading this book and being like,
I know, it's just like quiet. You hear a page turning.
Turn. Turn.
You hear a quiet little like muffled laugh.
One little tear.
So what are you talking about though?
Well, I saw Star Wars all her and I was running off to the theater to go watch Star Wars. So I saw Star Wars and something that really struck me was the gay-coded character relationship that was in there.
Ooh, and Rogue One.
And Rogue One, Star Wars, Rogue One, Lady Wars. And I'm going to talk about Star Wars for a lot of it because I'm a nerd. Gay-coded characters and also just gay-coded characters throughout like history and just like, what the fuck?
I love it.
And are they there? Are they not?
Yes.
And because there's a lot of, some people are saying, oh, they are gay, and some people are saying, oh, they're not. And so I'm going to break it down.
Why does it have to be coded too? Like,
exactly.
Why can't it just be like plain as day?
So we're going to talk about Star Wars gay-coded wars. Gay-coded wars.
Yes. Ooh. Dun, dun.
In a galaxy
dun, dun, dun,
far away.
Dun, 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 dun,
a long time ago.
Dun, 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 dun. We're not doing a welcome to Minority Corner?
No, I think we're just going to set up this. I'll just use
it. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
All right, cool. Hey, guys.
Hey. So, always just extra bonus episode. This episode is just, we recorded so much material because Aneke is going off on her honeymoon.
I'm in Thailand right now, guys. Well, not right now, but when you're hearing this.
When you're listening to this.
Yeah.
So we recorded a shit ton of material. So this is just
we've been on the phone for 3.5 hours. You guys.
This episode is just on the cutting room floor of. We won't even know. This could be our Star Wars fight, our Star Wars Lady Wars fight.
It could be anything. Listening to us with the magic that James did.
Through my editing process. So
it's beautiful.
Enjoy your random Minority Corner from the cutting room floor, cut for time.
Ooh, I like it. I like it. It's like it's extra bonus material that is just for you.
Yeah. It's not just a bunch of like fart jokes and like bloopers of like
us. No, we actually talk about some shit.
No, this is just like real segments that were just cut.
Yeah.
So they're real. All right. Have a good honeymoon, Aneke, and we will see
you
when you return, my little love
Ooh,
muffin.
I'm going to come back, and it's going to be great. I'm going to have some stories.
Oh, damn. We can't wait to hear. So enjoy. Get that loving. Get that honeymoon in. I know what you're doing.
Yes. Going to D-Town up in Thailand.
Whoa. Enjoy. And you finally get to consummate your marriage after waiting since last April. So that's awesome. Enjoy D-Town in T-Town, Thailand. I'm glad you joined in because mine was going to be something way not the right tune. I think I was going to be like,
dun, 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 dun. You start singing the fucking Jurassic Park song. Did you know that the composer of the Star Wars music has never seen a full Star Wars movie?
Jesus. I don't know what to make of that. He's like, that's okay. But you know what? I watched a documentary, and that man is good, though. I watched this documentary about the Force, The Force Awakens. And he's hella good at composing his shit, but he's not ever seen the full movie.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, no. Well, he's too busy. Apparently, he's done, like, all of that shit. Like, every iconic movie song you've ever heard, he's done it.
True. He's like, I gotta go on to the next one.
He's like, I don't got time to be watching no movies.
Okay, so speaking of movies, so
yes,
I saw Star Wars, Rogue One, Lady Wars, War Wars.
Okay, yes.
Not sure what the full title of it is.
That works. I think it's just Rogue One. Oh, A Star Wars Story.
Rogue One, Star Wars, Lady Time Bonanza.
Sure.
I saw it. And you know what? So I'm gonna say something very... I will say this. I enjoyed it. Enjoyed it. But there was something that was very... Before I get to my... I want to talk about gay-coded characters throughout, like,
right.
You know...
Just get it film. Off your chest. I know what you're going to say. You sent me a very long text message.
Where the fuck were the women in this... Where the fuck were the women in this movie? Where are the ladies? So I'm very confused about, like, is it because there was a conscious choice? Because this is set right before the original trilogy, where even in the original trilogy, there were only three women who existed in that galaxy a long time far away. Princess Leia, that redheaded woman who showed up in the third one, which she was back. She's like, I'm still here in this galaxy. And then that woman who was the slave girl who got eaten by that like monster in Return of the Jedi. There's only three women in the entire galaxy. And what I love about Episode 7 is that there are women everywhere. I recently watched Episode 7 again.
Which one the fuck is Episode 7? Help me.
Oh, that's the newest one, Force Awakens.
Oh, yeah, okay.
There are women fucking everywhere. There are women. Right. And so, but my thing is, like, in this Rogue One, it's like women can't be pushing buttons in the background. They can't be just walking by. They can't.
They were, weren't they?
No.
They were all over the. Mm-mm. I mean, okay, you know what? We are going to disagree. We're going to agree to disagree on this one.
Because, I literally was sitting there, and I mean, I was even talking to, like, you can look on. Well, we can look, do research and look online, but like comparatively to Episode 7, it's not the same. And I will say this, in the tail end of Rogue One, at the very end, there was a woman who was in a fighter plane. But like if you compare this to Episode 7, it's not even comparative. Like there are women like everywhere from pushing, like they're pushing buttons, they're in airplanes, they're in bazaars, they're in the entirety of the galaxy, which makes sense. Here's the other thing too that I want to point out, that Episode 7 does amazingly well too. There's even women, and this is just goes for like movies in this genre in general, women just tend to be absent in the background. And I tell you this, that for like when I watch like a movie in this sort of genre or an action movie, when there's not women who are, I tune out, it's hard for me to enjoy it. Cause I just need like one woman just running around in the background with a gun or something, or like,
okay, well, as a woman, I was not necessarily, I guess, turned off because this wasn't, to me, they're two different movies because Rogue One is a heist movie with like four main characters, whereas the New Hope was like a big expanding full galaxy thing with like, but I get it. But I mean, to me, I saw there was a black woman that was in charge in a bomb-ass gold hooded outfit. There was the main woman, Jyn Erso. There was her mom. There was the woman fighter pilot. And I get it. I'm always all about women being in it. I totally understand it. There was a woman who was a part of the the fighting team.
But the thing is that, like, you can, but I'm telling you, because I just rewatched this movie, and I remember walking away from The Force Awakens, the Star Wars that came out last year, that you can't count, like, right now, you can count the women background
but
extras.
I feel like you can count the amount of people that were in Rogue One, though.
Okay, I think my point is just getting kind of lost here, actually, because all I'm saying is that what I appreciate from The Force Awakens is that there's an explosive amount of women through extras. I'm just talking extras, like female stormtroopers. And that, here's the thing: there are women on the bad side as well, which I appreciated. That a lot of times, like in movies, is that like you won't even have women who if they're going to be extras, they're going to be maybe on just the good side. What I love is that there were like bad ladies too in The Force Awakens. Is that like from what I saw is that in The Force Awakens there just was a plethora more of women that I couldn't even count. And so I appreciated that. I'm not saying Rogue One was a terrible movie. I'm not saying that. I just think that to me, it was a step back in terms of the amount of visibility for women in the Star Wars universe, that it just wasn't. Force Awakens just did a lot of badass shit in terms of it. And I just think that Rogue One wasn't quite up there. It wasn't in the same level that you can right now. You can list to me and count it. And then Force Awakens, like I say, go back, rewatch it, that there's like women galore all throughout it.
All right. I mean, I don't want to get into this argument with you. I enjoyed Rogue One, and
I didn't enjoy it. I think you're.
I know.
Totally
I'm just saying that it puts me in a weird position as a woman who didn't have a problem with the representation of women.
But
in
it doesn't. But I'm allowed to have. I'm allowed
you totally
to have
are.
My own.
You
I,
are.
It's just my own.
I mean, I do feel like I'm allowed to have. My opinion too.
I'm not saying that you're not. I just feel like I'm being attacked because you had
How
one
am
opinion
I attacking
and I had
you?
Another one.
I'm not attacking you.
This is besides what I actually really wanted to talk about anyways. So moving on.
I am ready.
So
do you want to take a pause?
Yeah.
Okay.
Comedian Emily Heller.
And I'm cartoonist Lisa Hannawalt.
And we're the hosts of Baby Geniuses.
Do you want to learn weird new facts?
Do you like hearing successful creative women talk about their poop?
Do you want the scoop on Martha Stewart's pony?
If you answered yes to any of these questions, our show is for you.
We interview people like Paul F. Tompkins,
Kristen Shaw,
Michael Che,
and more. So check us out on Maximum Fun.
And let us mess up your brain.
Yes, please.
Baby Geniuses, we know everything. Baby Geniuses, tell us something we don't know.
Okay, all right, and we're back.
All right.
But you know what? On the best point is that front and center of this movie, you had this badass Chica surrounded by a beautiful boat of ethnic diversity, which I fucking absolutely loved, right? You know, although whether or not there are ladies in Rogue One or ladies not in Rogue One,
right?
And just in general, folks who are consistently absent are gay folks.
Yes.
Especially in movies. And so
definitely
there's this sort of discussion that's going on, like, did Rogue One, Star Wars, Lady Wars give us our first on-screen, I don't know, titles the thing,
now it is Rogue One, Lady Wars. That
it
is
literally is at this point. It actually does, it works. Star Rogue One, Lady Wars. So did it give us our first gay couple? And so there's lots of buzz that, you know, when we thought we had it with Poe Dameron and Finn,
right,
in Star Wars Episode 7. And then John Boyega, I don't know how to say his name, he kind of shot it down. And so we're like, oh, okay.
Oh, that's
but
a bummer.
there was a longing look between those two men.
Was the lip bite that was heard around the world.
He was like, my jacket looks good on you. And they just kind of like stood there looking at each other.
It was sexy.
So director Gareth Edwards. And so there's these two characters. Gareth Edwards, the director, wouldn't confirm or deny if, I don't know how to say their names, because Sharut and Baz.
Oh, yeah. I don't...
Sharoot, the blind guy.
Star Wars. And,
yeah, listen. Jali Fawaz. Like, I just can't. How do you use? They just draw letters out of a hat and say,
basically,
and put them together. It's like this. Sometimes there's like not enough vowels.
I know.
Well, Gareth Edwards would not confirm whether or not these two were in a same-sex relationship. Also, this will not be. Well, I don't know if this will be spoilers or not, but you should have seen the movie by now.
It's been a month. It's been like it's a while. Been... Come on, get with the program.
And so Gareth Edwards said, he said, you know, I don't mind people reading into it. He says, I think that's all good. Who knows? You'd have to speak to them. So I appreciate that comment because he didn't shoot it down.
True.
And so my experience when I saw Rogue One, it's one thing that I absolutely, don't get me wrong, I loved the movie. I thought it was great. I just always would love to see more women in cinema, as I think everybody would. And people are appreciative of when they do see themselves on screen. You know, I watched it and what I saw, gay. I was like, that is gay. I love it. It is gay. And it's on the screen. I'm excited about it. You know, it's a very...
I mean, I agree with you.
It's a very touching relationship and very touching story. And... you know, like, I'm sorry, but, like, how many dudes... And, like, so when I watched it, like, and I explained this to my friend, I was like, oh, wow, I really love the gay relationship. He's like, huh? It was like...
Oh, come on. It was so intimate.
But my straight friend, and he's almost offended because maybe he connected to... He just saw it as, like, a beautiful friendship. And that kind of pains me to my stomach. And I say that because... You know, sorry, dudes, like, I just don't know how many of you would actually really travel the galaxy with your best bud on a faithful mission, protecting each other, fighting for each other, dying for each other, like, die hard, just you two.
Cradling the head, like, as, like, you know.
And, like, yeah, like, there's just something was so intimate. So, I think you said it, intimate. And you know who did do things like that? The ancient Greek warriors used to fight and fuck for each other.
That's right. You brought this up in a later episode or earlier episode.
Review like History of Gay, episode 23, I think, in the History of Queer Fabulousness. We talk about all of that. There was those passionate Greeks used to fight and fuck for each other. And so that's where this does remind me of that. And you know, it's frustrating to me because it's like, you know, straight dudes, y'all get to see each other's friendships all over the place. Like, it's everywhere. Mm-hmm. You get Hangover. You get Dude, Where's My Car? You get, you know...
these are the worst movies.
Tay Diggs and Bachelor Man.
What the fuck is
Someone Needs
Man?
Wedding Dates or Wedding... What's that Tay Diggs movie where they're like, we gotta get married.
What?
And it's all those sexy black men in it, right?
Oh, The Wood?
Okay.
Or First Man?
Guys, like, they always... First man,
best
last
man,
man best,
best
man.
Man,
she's a man.
Yes.
She the man.
Got a man, here's a man.
Got a man, she's not the man. How to Get Your Man.
All starring Morris Chestnut.
They're all starring fucking Morris Chestnut playing the same character.
Yes.
But being sexy as all hell, so I can't hate on him.
It's true.
So
we appreciate it.
I just kind of, and like, I was sort of like taken aback that like he was, my friend wanted to hold on to this one story. I'm like, can't we have this one thing?
Yes.
I gave up on Frodo and Sam. I let y'all have that.
Yes.
Even though that was hella bisexual there too. But I let you have.
Oh, yeah. There was definitely some looks.
But I didn't have the time or knowledge or effort or energy or podcast to fight for it.
Yeah.
But I do now. And it's so funny because it's like I'm fighting for this coded thing. And that also hurts my heart and my soul. Because
exactly.
It hurt because he wanted to take that away from me and would not see it in this other way. It was almost disgusted by the thought of having to look at it in this other direction. And yet...
like, not even entertaining it.
And it's also sad that I have to fight for a coded thing that the director was like, it could be, I don't know, whatever. If you want it, take it. You know?
That's such like a... It's like a... It's so passive.
Yeah. Yes. And it's just... It's disappointing. It's disappointing on all levels. And it's like, as you look through like the history of like film, what gay relationships do you really see... in movies, you've got, you know, Brokeback Mountain, White Hot American Summer. I don't call it wet, as full of white people.
I agree. White Hot, because where are the fucking people of color in that goddamn cult movie?
Right?
Yes.
You had But I'm a Cheerleader had some. I Love You, Philip Morris, which I love that movie. And nobody else. Did you see
what movie?
I Love You, Philip Morris.
Oh, yeah, that's a good one. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And that movie is hella, doesn't even pull punches away from just like it. They just have gay sex in it. It's just great. I love that movie. The Color Purple, Shook and Seeley, and the super watered down version of the movie. It was watered down. I saw the Broadway musical first, and it was like, hella, Leslie, Les Town, lesbian, we are in love, we are women of color, loving each other, post-slavery. I think that was like one of the songs.
I love that. Was I think so. I saw the book. I saw
it was called Leslie, Les Town is the hit number.
In parentheses, we are women of color.
It's the chorus hook part of it. And so it's like, where the fuck are, I think, like, just recently you had Star Trek, you had Sulu, and that was, you know, great and wonderful there. It was not coded, it was just, you know, really there. And so I just look at this list, and it's just so disappointing, and it's like, what was really dope about this is that it's like a science fiction sort of, you know, and it's not even about them. It's just this beautiful relationship is just there. It just exists. Yeah. And it's just sort of, you know, normalized. And I would like to think, a long, long time ago in a galaxy far, far away, there was just, this shit just didn't matter. In the same way of, like, if you think about the ancient African continent, this shit just didn't matter.
Right. Like, it would have been so beautiful if the director was just like, oh, yeah, they're an old married couple. And then that was that.
Why couldn't he?
And then that, you know?
Why? Like, and so instead, we have to, like, add our own narratives and our own ideas and our own imagination. And I feel like we shouldn't have to. And I want to applaud TV because TV is doing it up. And there are some shows that if you're not watching and you're looking to see where some of these awesome gay relationships are, there's a lot on TV.
Yeah.
One of my favorites that I think maybe people are not aware of is on Brooklyn Nine-Nine. Captain Ray Holt and his husband, Kevin. It's amazing because that show breaks grounds because it's so nonchalant. Like, it's not a big deal. Exactly. It's not even a focus point. And it's just like, and also that show is amazing because there's, what, two Latinas on the same show? What?
Dun, dun, dun!
Two black men? Show's amazing. Oh my God, it's so good. I appreciate that.
I fucking love that show.
Empire has Jamal and Michael. It's a little bit more heavy-handed.
That show is just heavy-handed, though.
It's just a smidgen. Just a wee smidgen. It's cookie time.
Should be retitled Heavy-Handed.
Right. Experiences of being black and gay. What I also think is very interesting, though, too, is that, like, still, I only watched, like, the first season, but it's an interracial relationship, and I still have yet to have seen people of the same race loving each other. I feel like it's often,
oh, they,
like,
got that on Empire now.
Oh, they do?
Yeah.
Good for Lee Daniels, because I wasn't sure if he was going to go for there. Because there's also, like, the internalized sort of, like, homophobia that I think that happens that I think also drives towards more interracial relationships. And again, we've talked about this. Pornography is heavily, you know, white or whatnot.
Yeah.
And so it becomes this, and so good. I'm glad that he has diversified that. We rarely get to see images of men of color loving men of color. So
exactly. That's why Moonlight was so special.
That is exactly why Moonlight was so special. And I love that you said it with a very special voice.
I try.
And you know, I've said this before, but why Moonlight is so important, like, especially for me, it was the first time that I ever saw me up on the movie screen. I mean, not me, because I have a different experience than, you know, the lead character, but, like, me as in a black gay protagonist. Like, I've been left out. Name a movie with a gay black protagonist, like, or even, like, sidekick. Like, I am left out of the stories, like, left and right. Like, many folks, you feel like you've been left out? Like, hello? Front and center, even though that's a terrible thing to compete for, but I don't watch this, but I feel like I should. I can't add something else. But if you got time, I bet there's, like, a million episodes. But Steph and Lena in The Fosters.
Oh, right!
And the black mom, or, like, the black lover on it, she used to be on Sunset Beach, which I was religiously obsessed with when I was a wee preteen. But The Fosters, it's an interracial lesbian couple. And, like, one of them's a cop, one of them's a vice principal. And it's, like, they're, like, a blended family. So I think that's very dope and beautiful. You definitely are not seeing that in Lord of the Rings.
No.
You're not seeing some elf lady and some dwarf lady.
Just getting it on being other. Normal, having a regular-ass, boring relationship.
They're like, what? We're just trying to get this ring to Mordor.
I know.
Come here, my lesbian lover. We got to do this. That's not like... seeing them. we're regular. We're bored. We're boring, regular
lesbian ladies. We're just the boring-ass relationship. Deal with
I'm
it.
I'm a boring-ass lesbian elf, and I'm a boring-ass lesbian dwarf. We're just trying to do our job. Nothing to see here. Nothing to see here. Move along.
Keep on going.
Give me that ring.
It's what you said about the coded thing is everywhere, and I want us to break free of the coded business. It's time to just be boring and normal with it.
I have some more interesting ones that are doing some really interesting stuff on TV. Maura and Shelley on Transparent. I haven't started watching this show.
Oh, I have.
But I know one of the writers on the show.
Oh, excuse.
Well, you know, hair toss, hair flip. And then we've also got, this one's really interesting. This is Connor and Oliver on How to Get Away with Murder. It's an interracial couple, and one of them is HIV positive. And so that is very interesting because you don't see HIV positive characters on TV at all.
Have you seen the new season, the latest season?
No, I'm still in season two.
It takes an interesting twist. It's interesting. It's good. It's good. They go into some interesting territory that I respect it. I'm not going to say it.
Mm-hmm. Well, I can't wait till the summer. I'm a binge watcher only, so...
You're just waiting. I'm waiting.
Can't wait.
Just keep waiting.
I have to wait till, September. Willow and Tara from Buffy, we all know. Santana and Brittany from Glee. Mm-hmm.
And little fun fact for all my Buffy fans is that it was actually a toss-up that Joss Whedon knew that one of the characters was going to come out as gay in season four when they went off to college. It was a toss-up between Xander or Willow. And it was Willow. And at first I was like, oh, I wanted to see a gay Xander. But there's so few female lesbian characters as there are. And then also Willow and Tara are just fucking amazing. And then on Modern Family, Cam and Mitchell, which are really, it's fun because...
It's watered down.
It's a watered down, but it's fun.
Yeah, it's
and
good.
They just be kind of fun and gay. Mm-hmm. So it's like, I'm just like, sci-fi, can't we get up in this?
I know.
Can't we get up into the fray? Movies in general, can't we want to be gay in movies too? So.
It's literally the easiest, that movie, the relationship between the two of them, to me, was just such a relationship. It was the two of them together, makes sense. They follow, they go where they need to go together. They're with each other the whole time. They support each other. They know each other in a certain way.
They know each other.
You know?
That's your buddy. I've got best friends, but I don't, unless I've gotten intimate with them.
Exactly.
And even then, I point to me a friendship that's like that, and you guys should probably have sex because y'all know each other.
Y'all know each other. Cut from the same cloth.
So it's on the one sense. So I am fighting for, it's weird. I'm sad that I'm having to fight for this coded relationship, but I'm going to.
Yeah.
Because we don't have many. TV. Good job.
Doing good job,
movies.
TV.
Step it up. And also, Carrie Fisher, really, that's sad.
I know, rest in peace. Did you hear that her urn was a Prozac pill, though?
I'm sorry, what?
Her urn is a Prozac pill. I fucking love her so much.
Love you, Carrie. She, her documentary with her and her mother, that's beautiful. Her mother, died shortly after.
Day Debbie after.
Reynolds. Day after. And they... apparently lived right next to each other, too.
Mm-hmm. Oh, can I bring up an example of coded that I saw on a commercial?
Oh, yeah.
So do you remember the Verizon Can You Hear Me Now guy?
I do.
So he's back and Sprint has swiped him up. So now he's saying, can you hear this? Being sassy, Verizon sucks. I'm with Sprint now.
Yeah.
And so there is one... and he's normally just kind of walking around doing his own thing. And he talks to regular people, quote unquote, regular people about it. They're all actors. Mm-hmm. So the one that I saw that I was coded that I was like, oh, this is coded, was he's buying Christmas trees and he's out Christmas. Everybody's Christmas shopping. And he is he's walking, talking to the camera, and he's carrying two coffee cups. Mm-hmm. And then he walks over to a very handsome, bald gentleman who is asking about the price of two Christmas trees. And he hands one coffee cup to the guy and stands next to him. And then at the very end, they go, "We'll take that one." And I was like, "Oh, go Sprint." Even, you know. I know. So I would even go as far to say as it wasn't coded. It was actually kind of...
It was like just right there.
Yeah.
And like, it feels like, I mean, all the director really needs to do, or one of the actors even, it just say, "Yeah, we were gay." And because, like, it's not like we need them to, like, make out and have butt sex on screen. Like, I don't need that. Like, it was already there. But a little simple confirmation is, like, and I will say this, I just found out, this just in, there's this animated show called DC Young Justice. So it's like sort of like Young Avengers. And the show is very gritty. It was very diverse. Like it's an amazing show. And it went off the air and now it's coming back because like people are still like, "Why the fuck did you cancel the show?"
Oh, good.
And one of the writers, I forget his name. Oh, he's done a lot of animated shows. He did Gargoyles, which, you know, I was obsessed with. Elisa Mazza.
Yeah, I know. That was so random.
I'm Elisa Mazza from Gargoyles. I know that actress. I know her. She's Elisa Mazza. But he said, because the show's coming back, and he's like, "Oh, yeah, somebody tweeted something." Oh, and this goes back to what your list was. Someone tweeted something of like, "Great, I'm excited it's coming back." And for some reason, they're like, "I hope you don't have any gay characters on it, because that would ruin it."
Ew.
What this director then said was, "Well, there's already a gay character on there.
Yes.
And now it's a different time and we can just have them live their life."
Good.
So one of the characters on Young Justice is already gay. And now everyone's like running around like, "Oh, I wonder who is. Is it Superboy?
Applauding.
Is it Aqualad?" Like, who
Aqualad.
Knows? that's his old school name. I don't think he's Aqualad anymore. He's just... I don't know. I don't know what they called him anymore. But he's black.
Aqualad is my favorite.
I think it's him because he actually kind of looks like Cisco.
He looks like Cisco. Oh.
Cisco is cute.
So he's a black guy with blonde hair?
Yes. So I was like, "Oh, it's either Superboy who's super like muscular or it's like..." But this guy also, apparently one of his characters in Gargoyles was supposed to be gay as well. One of the Gargoyles. Oh. But this is 1996 and they just couldn't do that. And it was for Disney.
It was a different time.
Different time.
It was a different time.
But yeah.
Oh, man.
So on that note, the verdict is they were gay.
Yes.
In Star Wars. Yeah.
Done and done.
Verdict in. Yeah. And I'm also interested to find out what they're going to do with Carrie Fisher in, because Leia is supposed to be a huge, huge
thing in
episode 8. It, like, everyone, her role was going to get bigger.
Shit.
I bet we were going to see like a lightsaber fight with her or something. And
well, she just finished 8, so at least we get her next year. At the end of this year, we get her.
They're still figuring out what to do, but I feel like you got to, you know, I don't know.
I'm scared because we just found out with Rogue One that they have no qualms with doing CGI dead people. So I don't want them to do that to Carrie Fisher, though.
But it's weird because don't you want the story to kind of continue? I would rather, instead of her not be in there, and I feel like Leia, I want her to get her full. If they're going to make her a Jedi, then I want to see it.
It's
true.
It's
important.
Even if it's CGI weirdo version of her.
Well, and like ultimately, I'm going to say something that I think might be a little controversial, but you know, I'm a storyteller and I'm all about stories being told to their fullest. And I just think about, like, if her character story isn't completely finished, and I just feel like it deserves it. And I understand that, like, we're all incredibly sad right now, and it seems hard to think about something like this because we're so close to it. But it's like 20 years from now, when we look back and we're watching the Star Wars saga, we would want that story to have been fully told. We're not going to think about like, "Oh man, we should have waited." Like we would I think regret that the story wasn't finished. And then like otherwise, like, it's weird because then they would be like if like her character still exists but they don't show her, it's like, "Oh well, I just talked to Lieutenant Organa and she said," or, "Oh, she's down the hallway over there," or, you know, it's like when they tried to pretend that Tisha Campbell wasn't on the last 5 episodes of Martin. Because she wasn't. If you go back and watch it, like, she's not there. Like, because he, Martin, had, like, sexually harassed her, and she was like, I am done. So they had all these episodes where she, like, quote-unquote, missed the cruise ship or was out of town. And, like, even on the last episode of Martin, she's not even in the same scene with him. But anyways, like, going back to, I think that they should figure out a way to tell the story. I think the technology will only get better to make it feel like she's really there. And what a great way to honor her. So, you know what? I'll take it. Because her daughter, Billie Lord, who was in Force Awakens, yeah, she was in the background pushing buttons. And I think that she
She was.
She was. Do, 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 do. Yeah. She had, like, her, she had the Leia little bun buns.
Yeah, she had a tribute hairdo.
Just pushing buttons. But maybe they have her stand in and then they just CGI
they
her mom.
CGI her face.
They did it with Paul Walker in Fast and the Furious, but.
That's true. And I mean, in Rogue One, they had the whole character. What's his face was CGI.
I did not know that until I read an article. I was like, oh, that guy's back. He still looks old.
I know. Isn't that crazy? That guy's been dead since like 1994.
Weird. Well, on that note, don't let gay love die in a galaxy far, far away.
Support it. Support it, uplift it, acknowledge it. Okay, you ready for this?
I am ready for a new list.
Okay, so this is a New Year's list. Starting it off, we're taking care of the babies because, as Whitney Houston once said, and it was probably played in your musical,
The Bodyguard, when I went to go see that at the West End, it probably was.
It was?
But say the name of the song. Yes. What's the name of the song? I believe
the children are the future.
She was singing it to her son.
Stop it. That is shoehorned into the fucking musical.
Her son's running around and she's like, come here, baby. I believe the children. Oh, you know what? It's her at the piano and she's figuring out how to write the song. And then her sister comes over and she's like, that sounds good. And
are you sure this wasn't just like a Whitney Houston musical that you saw?
Disguised as The Bodyguard. They literally like, we want to do The Bodyguard and we're going to use Whitney Houston tracks. That's what happened.
That's, come on, guys. Do better. Okay, so I'm going to read. I found this one article that I'll post. It's from this one. Doesn't matter the source. It's called news1.com, but I'm a librarian, so I vetted these sources. I know they're good. Mm. Basically, it's 50 books every black teen should read. And I'm going to open that up to all teenagers need to read these books because we need to, different people. Well, one, you need to read about yourself.
Yes.
But two, you need to read about other people. So white teenagers, you're already reading about yourself because that's just normal.
Yeah.
And everybody else is reading about white teenagers because that is just the majority of stuff.
Yeah, that's all that's there.
If you are not a white teenager, you need to read some stuff about yourself. Like if you're an Asian teenager, read some stuff about some Asian teenagers. Latino, black, everybody, right?
Absolutely. I love that.
And I'm going to branch it out even further. Like if you are a teenager and you are LGBTQ, you need to read some stuff about that.
Yeah.
If you are a woman, you need to read your feminism stuff. So basically read about yourself and then read about other people so you could diversify your mind.
I love everything about that.
Thank you.
So what you're saying is like step out of, you know, dominant European white heteronormativity.
Yes.
Male.
That's it. That's it. All you gotta do is one, know yourself, then know other people.
It's almost like decolonize your mind.
Decolonize your mind and start young. If you have a teenager in your life, I would say listen to some of these titles that I'm gonna be reading off.
Especially if they're your boy wife, get your boy wife some
maybe
books.
Don't do that. Maybe wait. No, but that's creepy too. That's like a Celine Dion situation with Renee, where he like. Was like, you're a cute 14-year-old. I'm just going to wait.
Isn't it? But he waited. Isn't that? He waited. That he did the right thing. He waited.
James, that's creepy
as
fuck.
I have friends who have, you know, a few decades between them.
That's fine if you're an adult. If you're an adult.
But not to be like,
wave your flag. I don't care. Be like, I like young adults. That's fine. But leave the babies alone.
He was a gentleman in waiting.
Oh, weird. So,
okay. You're giving me the eye.
I am.
Not buying it.
No. Leave children alone.
I agree.
That should go unsaid.
Apparently, we need a reminder.
If you are buying one of these teenage books for your teenage lover, stop it. Stop listening. Go to some therapy.
Fair enough. And there's a...
Because if anybody...
And that kid's not having it. Agreed. Okay, this list. What are some books that I'm going to...
Okay, the first one is called Asata, an autobiography by Asata Shakur.
I've read this book. I read this in my Angela Davis class. It's good.
Yes.
And it flows really well. I can recommend this book.
Yes, read it. Because it's like Black Panther, Tupac connected.
Tupac. I mean, everybody loves Tupac. This is great. See where he came from.
Okay, next one. This one, I don't know, but you know what? The babies need to know about Michael Jackson.
Me too.
It's called Moonwalk by Michael Jackson.
Because some of these babies, when did he die? Were they alive?
5 years ago. They don't know.
Yeah, y'all need to learn. It's a part of history.
It's a part of history.
He shattered glass.
This is one that
He shattered glass.
He did.
And his hair caught on fire.
During a Pepsi commercial.
Never forget.
But let's focus on the positive of Michael Jackson.
True.
This is a good one. Song of Solomon by Toni Morrison. Ooh. Don't wait until you're in college to read this shit, because that's normally what happens. Read it when you're a teenager. Get informed. Toni Morrison will fucking break your mind.
Yes. Put down that Catcher in the Rye and go read some Toni Morrison.
Yeah. Whiny ass Holden Caulfield. He was whiny ass. Ooh, whiny. Poor me. Ooh. I'm in a boarding school. I'm rich and everybody's phony. Ooh. Get a life. Okay. You should also read The Coldest Winter Ever by Sister Souljah. I read Sister Souljah when I was a young teenage Black woman, and it was really good. Helped me really zone into who I am as being Black and woman and intersectional. So
love that.
Get the...
How did you get that book? What was the...
My mom.
Yeah. Ooh, I'm going to listen to your list, and I wonder if there's this one that's going to be on there that I hope is on there that I read. And
ooh.
It changed my life and scared me at the same time.
Ooh. Okay. Here's Sag Harbor by Colson Whitehead. Colson Whitehead actually has a new book out called The Underground Railroad. That's more adult. This one is geared towards teenagers, which is like a good gateway drug for higher levels of literature for your teenager.
Thought you were just talking about drugs.
Well, books as drugs.
Oh, yeah. The best addiction you could ever have.
Ooh, thank you. That's a good plug. Of course. Oh, this one is big. Monster by Walter Dean Myers. This is definitely a big one for the young Black man in your life, about the system and beating it and all of that. National Book Awards. It's huge, and it's teen literature. So get that book out. Things Fall Apart. That's a big one.
I've heard of that one.
Yeah, Chinua Achebe. That's a huge one. Things Fall Apart. This one, I don't want to... I'm mentioning it so everybody can pat themselves on the back. This is like fucking the Rosa Parks of Black literature. Where just everybody knows about it. Their Eyes Were Watching God by Zora Neale Hurston.
Oh, yeah. That book was all the rage senior year of high school.
Right. If this is the only book that you've read that is by a Black author, you need to fucking diversify your list.
Well, I remember reading this book, and it was a big deal because Halle Berry was in the made-for-TV movie produced by Oprah Winfrey. And it was a big deal because we had read the book and we watched the movie, and the movie was not as good. And I love me some Halle Berry, but I think sometimes we asked too much of her. There's just a time period we just threw her in every Black role that we possibly could. From Storm to Losing Isaiah to Baps to Sharon Stone in The Flintstones to then beating Sharon Stone in Catwoman. We asked a lot of this woman. It is a good book, though.
It's good. It is a good book. But it's tired. I mean, everybody's read it.
Is that Alice Walker?
No, Zora Neale Hurston.
Oh, that's what you already said. I'll edit that out. Oh, she's got some good... What's the really big one by Alice Walker?
Color Purple.
Color Purple? Okay, yeah. Mm-hmm. I'm getting this confused. Can I jump is Native Son on your list?
Yes, of course. Native Son is excellent.
Native Son by Richard Wright. I remember reading this in junior high school, and I feel like it was the first, not in junior high school, junior year of high school. And I feel like it was the first time I really got to read a book that was about a Black protagonist. Like, really?
Yes.
I feel like that was the first time. and it was in the 1930s, and it's an intense book. This ride this guy goes on to, and I think at the time, living in, you know, suburban California, I didn't see... That book is incredibly still fucking relevant today. So it's so good. Set in the 1930s in Chicago. And in my mind, I cast Monica as one of the female leads. And I think I like... In my mind,
you were having you're dating yourself, James.
When I read books, I like cast like celebrities that I like and super into, and I think like Britney Spears was the rich white girl or whatnot. Who was the hot black lead that I put in there? I think this actor from Passions.
Oh my god! Okay, so this is what I'm gonna. I'm so glad you brought up Native Son, because I'm gonna say that this is a combo pack.
Black boy.
You need to. No, oh. Invisible Man by Ralph Ellison. So you give your teenagers some Native Son and some Invisible Man by Ralph Ellison, and you got a 1-2 punch with Black experience in the early 20th century.
Absolutely.
This is a good one. I've never read it, but I think it's probably a good thing to read. The Autobiography of Malcolm X.
I'm putting that on my list. I think that should be on everybody's list, because I feel like, I need to read that.
And it's basically what the Spike Lee movie was based off of.
Hella good movie. I'm still, how did Denzel Washington not win the Academy Award for that movie?
It's a crime. He did an amazing job. Instead, he won it for fucking
Training Day.
Yeah, when he's just like yelling at people, being a corrupt cop.
No.
This book destroyed me. But I say you should read it because it's heartbreaking and awful. The Bluest Eye by Toni Morrison. If you're Black, you don't have to read this book. You should read Song of Solomon by Toni Morrison, because that's a little bit more interesting for Black experience. But if you are not Black and you want to know what the deep inner psyche and what we've been told to hate ourselves all about... is The Bluest Eye. You need to read that and truly understand what it's like to be Black in America and all the outside influences that we have had against us.
When was that written?
That was written, I want to say in the 70s, but I could be wrong.
Okay, yeah.
But it takes place in, I want to say, the 20s. Okay, The Color Purple by Alice Walker, brought that up.
Yep.
Did you know that Oprah starred in that movie before she had her TV show?
I did not know that. Good. Wow.
I didn't know that either.
That's random.
That was one of, it was one of the selling points of her getting the television show. Because she was already nominated for an Academy Award for The Color Purple.
So that'd be like right now if Megan Good was like, I'd like a talk show. And they'd be like, well, she is an actress. Or like Zendaya or someone, or
someone who's like was nominated for an award, like Viola Davis. Let's say that you're saying some budget actors right now.
Fair enough.
Okay, let me give a couple of more. Ooh, this one. No, this one's on this list, and I'm gonna have to say that I don't agree with it.
Okay.
What is the What by Dave Eggers? I don't know. Dave Eggers is a white man, and he's taking on the voice of a Black, I want to say child soldier in What is the What? And I don't know. If you're starting your teenager off on some Black literature, let's start with some Black writers.
Yes. If you maybe want to put him down further on the list, like you've done like about 15 of these, and then you're like, okay, what else? Then maybe. But like we really want to soak up the actual, like, you know, Black voices, you know?
Right. Like, I don't know if I read Memoirs of a Geisha, and I was like, this was written by a white man. Like, this is not the truth about Japanese culture.
I mean,
it could be. Like, the research could be good. I'm not discrediting it. I'm just saying, initially, you need to start from the source.
Very true. I did not know that Memoirs of a Geisha was written by a white man. I thought it was literally Memoirs of a Geisha.
No, it's fiction.
It's just... Oh my God. So this white guy was just like, you know what? I want to tell the story of a geisha. It's like that episode in Kimmy Schmidt when Titus tries to do that show about being a geisha because that was his past life.
Don't trust it. Don't trust it. Like, if you aren't a Japanese woman who has been a geisha, probably going to be secondhand knowledge.
You know what? Someone should actually come out with like the real stories. If I was a geisha... and I was in Japan, yeah. I would be like, I would write like the real, I would, you know, write the real Memoirs of a Gay Show, and that would be the title of it. I would call it The Real, you know? Kind of like the Real Housewives. Damn it. I'm so mad at both of us. Because that show...
That we both directly went there? Okay, let's go back to the list. Okay. Let's make ourselves a little bit. This one, the cover is cheesy, but I think it's good. Clearly, this book was written in 1992 because he's...
Is it Lisa Frank style?
Wearing a, well, he's wearing like a kente... It's like the author is on the cover and he's wearing a kente cloth vest.
We love that shit in the 90s. It was like going back to Africa.
It was hot shit. It was good. Okay. It's called Makes Me Want to Holler, A Young Black Man in America by Nathan McCall.
Definitely from the 90s. Even just that title. Mm-hmm. That title.
Makes Me Want to Holler.
Holler.
Here's another one. Fly Girl by Omar Tyree. Omar Tyree does a lot of teen, fun teen lit, but from the black perspective.
That's fun.
So not all of these books are like going to be like oppressive and sad and destroy you. Yeah. Some of these are just fun to have like a lead character who just happens to be black.
Yeah. Which I think is great too. That is awesome. You got to diversify those voices. Mm-hmm. Are there any that solve mysteries?
Not on this list, but I'll say right now that Walter Mosley, you should read anything by Walter Mosley because one, it's, he writes a lot of mysteries, a lot of noir, a lot of like, solving the case PI work, all from the black perspective with a little bit of social commentary in it, but mostly just kind of fun detective mystery. Easy Rollins, that's his character. Basically like a Sherlock Holmes, but he's solving mysteries in Harlem.
Oh.
So he's a good one. Easy to read, super fun. That sounds Walter Mosley.
Much better than the shit I was reading. I remember when we got to pick our own books. I was reading these mysteries that circled around like dog shows, these murder mysteries. Like there's one called A Pedigree to Die For.
Stop it right now.
It was like a series. I don't even want to. It was like a series.
Who were you as a teenager? Who were you?
Because this was like in the adult, I got to read like the adult books. It was like in the adult mystery section. And I remember like, I would cast like Gabrielle Union or Carmen Electra in my mind.
Stop it with your weird casting.
It's how it got me to read.
Hey, you know what? I can't knock it. If it got you to read, then I condone it.
In one of them, I casted Carmen Electra in this dog mystery. Like, someone was killing dog owners.
You sure you want to tell me this stuff?
This podcast.
You're telling me this. Oh, okay. So this is a good one. I got to tell you this one. This one is good because they're coming out with a graphic novel version of this book. So I read this book when I was, I think, an older teenager. It's called Kindred by Octavia Butler. It's science fiction, but also like a twist. Like this black woman gets transported back in time. And you would think normally if like the character was white, it'd be chill. Mm-hmm. She gets transported back in time and she's a slave. And she's like, God damn it. So she has to deal with that shit. And it's fascinating. And I loved it as like a young woman. And I feel like it helps connect to your history. Because sometimes when you're a black, like for me personally, it's hard to imagine that like, my blood actually were slaves, you know? Like, it's hard to kind of connect that.
And in some ways, you sometimes don't even want to because it's so horrifying and jarring. Yeah.
It's horrifying and jarring. And also, whenever you think about slavery or, like, hear about slavery, it's always, like, right when it's ending. Like, slavery's ending, you're free, you get to hear about that shit. No, there's generations in our blood that, like, lived and died. My grandparents, my great-great-grandparents were slaves, and that's just my life.
Yeah, like, for 600 years, that shit, like, fucking existed. That's huge.
That's a lot of people.
A lot of generations. What I also love about this particular story is that this is a woman who goes back in time.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I feel like you rarely see slavery stories from a woman's perspective.
Right, it's true. Like they're always side characters,
mm-hmm.
you know?
Yeah.
And I think that she's, like, married to a white guy in present life. So it's, like, it's interesting.
Interesting.
And so the fact that they're coming out with a graphic novel of this could also be another gateway drug to your... movie, and also, well, I wasn't quite going there, but your teenager who's like, I don't like to read, give him the fucking graphic novel and be like, you're reading, bitch.
Say that exact line. Throw it at her. Read this, bitch. And so thank you.
Guess what? You're reading. Okay, who's another one? I'm looking at my list. I'm going to do, Bebe Moore Campbell. I love Bebe Moore Campbell because I read a lot of Bebe Moore Campbell back in the 90s because it is like your fun, kind of sexy dramas, kind of pulpy. This book that they have on here is called Your Blues Ain't Like Mine. I haven't read that one, but you should probably pick up some Bebe Moore Campbell because she is definitely more on the fun side.
Awesome.
And then get your kids some fucking Slave Narratives because that's always good to read. We got The 12 Years a Slave by Solomon Northup. There's the, Frederick Douglass has a slave narrative. It's always good just to read about, you know, some primary sources, what was going on at the time by the people that were living it.
Absolutely.
And I am going to, this one's good too. This is the one I'm going to end on. Outliers by Malcolm Gladwell. You wouldn't think so, but one, Malcolm Gladwell is black, and two, he writes a whole lot about succeeding and what you need to do to get ahead of the game and also to get into the mind frame of the way society is constructed. So he has this book, Outliers, and then he also has another book called The Tipping Point. Mm. It's a little pulpy. It's a little, pseudoscience, but I think it's a good way to get the black and teenagers of color, not just black teenagers, into the mind frame, and I would also say white teenagers, that the world is constructed in a certain way and you need to navigate through it in order to succeed. It isn't just,
I think specifically, especially, young black folks and POC folks in general, because the world was not like this westernized world that we do live in. So acceptance, mm-hmm. this is the world that we live in, was mm-hmm. not, we were having our own cultures or whatnot. Anyways, I think that's a great idea to give young people this book because it'll help them understand how things really are. You know, like I wish someone
exactly. Gave,
I think otherwise you're going to get a very crushing
rude awakening.
Or you'll Stacey Dash it your whole life and you never will.
God, don't even. Okay, so there's this three books though, and it's so true. You need to know this stuff, like you were saying. Outliers, the story of success. So basically how successful people became successful. I feel like teenagers need to know this in order for them to get ahead. There's Blink. Blink is all about different perceptions that people make in a blink of an eye, which is all couched around internalized racism, the bias, all of that. Get to know that and know how to navigate through it. And then the tipping point, how things become popular. Like, why are trends made? Like, why are certain things stolen from other cultures and not from others? So these are like three books that will get your teenager, your teenager of color into the mind frame of, oh shit, this is how the world works. Now I need to come up with a plan to make myself fucking successful.
Yeah. Wow. Well, thank you for all of that. I hope you all go out there and go buy all those books. It's also a great way to continue the Kwanzaa spirit and shop black.
Yes.
So keep that going. Sweet. Well, thanks, Aneke.
You're welcome. That was fun.
Hey, I'm Paul.
And I'm Shamina.
And we co-host a podcast called Head Boss in Charge.
We're black, we're queer, young, not so young professionals, and we try to look at life through an introspective, educational, entertaining lens, looking at our personal and professional successes.
Our show focuses on how to be a boss, or should I say boss-ass bitch, in the workplace, but also in relationships, life, and society.
New episodes come out bi-weekly, so you can subscribe to our show on iTunes, SoundCloud, Stitcher, by searching Head Boss in Charge.
You can also interact with us on the social. We're on Facebook and Twitter. And if you have a question, maybe something happening in the workplace or need advice, email us at headbosspodcast@gmail.com.
Wow, what an episode. Usually it's Aneke, she's the one who's always so exhausted, but she's not here right now. She is still on her honeymoon, or just arriving now, but I wanted to jump back on and just close out the episode. Feels so weird to do it without her. But funny enough, here's a deleted clip of her being exhausted at the very end of an episode.
Ooh, we did it.
You're always so exhausted.
I'm just exhausted, period.
And surprise. Woo! Got there another. Oh, can't believe we actually made it through that.
I feel like there needs to be a way to intro us into our conclusion instead of just like, bye.
Hey, y'all, this is it. I think that's enough. They know us. They know us enough. So yeah, that's okay.
True.
See, point proven, case in point. But, you know, she was exhausted within good reason. But we did manage to survive our second annual fight. We actually haven't had a fight since that drunken fight about Tesla back in the early days. I think it was like episode 5, I think. So I have to honestly, I have to say, I give Aneke all the props for us pushing through that moment. Because she's awesome. And she actually wanted us, she was like, no, keep it on. They need to hear, you know, and it'll make for good ratings, I guess. But I just love that, you know, we could have a disagreement, take a breather, come back, and have a laugh and a giggle, and, you know, just move on. And that's, I think, really what life should really be about. We should be able to disagree, take a breath, and come back. You know, it's not about holding on to anything or clinging on to anything or who's right, you know, because we all see the world differently. And it's honestly about, you know, still being able to respect each other at the end of the day and love each other. And just also, like, look at the silly ass shit that liberals argue about with each other. Like, like silly ass argument. Also, a big shout out to my friend Paul. You just heard his little promo for his new podcast, Head Boss in Charge, HBIC. You know, support fellow queers of color out there making a difference on the podcast waves. Way to go, Paul, a.k.a. Paul Yonce. He's also a fabulous dance instructor. He used to actually teach for my company, Icon Dance Collective. And he's out in San Francisco just being fabulous, as he do. And so next week, we'll be back with an all-new, fresh episode. And there's so much to talk about. You know, Aneke and I recorded those episodes like 3 weeks ago. This episode is like just an amalgamation of like all the material that we actually still had left over to still create another episode. So we got lots to say. And sure, Aneke had adventures from her sexy ass honeymoon in Thailand. I know when she first got there, it was flooding, so it was getting wet. Whoa, awkward. Also, I went to the Women's March in DC, so definitely want to talk about that. And I know a lot of you also went as well. And I saw you all posting in the Facebook Minority Corner Kids Playground. Alyssa A, shout out to you. Saw you, your photos that you posted from Lincoln, Nebraska. Is that what the NE is? I'm not a geographyist, so I don't know. Will S. in New Jersey, I loved your cute poster with the kid who had the poster saying, I'm more mature than the president. So definitely going to talk about a lot of the amazing slogans. We're getting so creative with these protests, posters, all kinds of stuff. So we'll talk about that. And also Jade over in the UK, adorbs, you and your daughter were at the protest. You know, just this worldwide, like 600 demonstrations done around the world. So we're definitely going to talk about that next week. And speaking of the Minority Corner Kids Playground, join it if you haven't. It's on Facebook. This is my saving grace on social media. I'm loving the interactions, the community that is being built here. It is such a beautiful thing. It's actually the only reason why I ever go on to Facebook. A big shout out also to Ebony S. and Laura M., who are pioneering this Throwing Shade Minority Corner crossover. Throwing Shade has a brand new show on TV Land, I think. Incredibly hilarious. And Throwing Shade, we're on the same network as them on Maximum Fun. And they were huge inspirations for us to even get out here and create our own podcast and our own sort of niche. And so there's a movement being started. Thank you, Ebony S., for throwing that shade. Well, you know, for just helping to get this movement possibly started. We would love to do a collaboration with Throwing Shade. So if you would like that as well, tweet at them. Do whatever, knock on their door. Don't do that. Don't bother Brian and Aaron for that. But let's see if we can make it happen. Let's start a hashtag and let's we're down. We're actually down just to whoever you guys want us to hang out with. We'll do it. Well, within reason. And then also next week, I definitely want to talk about Fences. I saw that movie. It rocked my world. What did y'all think? You can post on the Facebook group thoughts and opinions about that. And also, I'm apparently doing a reality TV dating show or something. I made it to round two, so I'll have more behind-the-scenes details of whatever I can reveal for y'all next week for my possible foray into reality TV Yeah, so that's happening. So also send us a voice memo for our Ask Minority Corner anything. You can email that to minoritycorner@gmail.com. That's corner with the K. It's really weird doing this. Usually this is the part of the podcast where I kind of check out and Neke tells all the like social media things. So this is hard. Where I miss you. And then also you can tweet at us, twat at us, Twitter twat, twat a tweet, tweet twat, Twitter to draw. And that's it. Have a great, wonderful week. Happy Beef Fabulous Friday. I wish you all the best, and I can't wait to be back here with Aneke side by side or coast to coast. Have a good week, and thanks for listening.
I'm Barbara Gray.
I'm Brandy Posey.
And I'm Tess Barker.
We're Lady to Lady. Do you want a sleepover in your ears?
Is that a friend in your pocket, or are you just podcast to see me?
We're a portable hangout you can bring to the gym, on the subway, or on an oil rig.
Seriously, we have listeners who do that.
Show with us while we get high with Margaret Cho.
Talk showgirls with Katya from Drag Race.
And hear Broadway star Anthony Rapp sing Hamilton.
I am not throwing away my shot. Hey, yo, I'm just like my country. I'm young, scrappy, and hungry, and I'm not throwing away my shot.
That's Lady to Lady.
Can you keep a secret?
Neither can we.
MaximumFun.org.
Comedy and culture.
Artist owned.
Listener supported.